open our Bibles to James, the book of James, chapter 2, verse 14. James chapter 2, verse 14 through verse 26. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works." You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, vindicated by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a man is vindicated by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also vindicated by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for what we will see of the illustrations of people like Abraham. We thank you, Lord, as we will see, that your word is entirely consistent with itself, even though there are those who stumble over some things. So, Lord, grant to us today the clear and consistent understanding of your grace, the gift of faith, and what justification does and produces in our lives. And may, Lord, all of the honor be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we have been looking at faith these last weeks, and particularly the truth of free faith, free grace, free faith, free justification. Let's be reminded of some of the things we've seen from the teaching of the Apostle Paul on faith and justification and works. Paul, and by the way, Paul is completely agreeing with Jesus on this. Paul teaches justification by faith alone, apart from works. Justification by faith alone, apart from works. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. A man is justified by what? Faith, apart from what? Works. Okay, that's Paul's teaching. By faith, apart from works. Romans 4:5, Paul taught the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. His faith counts as justification, and his works don't count at all. They don't contribute anything. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. And so we've believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace, you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works. Not of works. So that no one may boast. Paul has made it very clear, hasn't he? It is faith alone that justifies. It's faith alone in Christ alone that brings forgiveness of sins. It's faith alone in Christ alone that gives eternal life. Faith alone in Christ alone. Now, Paul did have some things to say about works. And we've just seen he said it's not of works. But Paul does explain why. All of the works of unsaved people. Okay, hear this. All of the works of unsaved people. Hear it again. All of the works of unsaved people are dead. They are dead works. All of them. Why? Because the unsaved are dead in sin. Someone who is dead in sin cannot generate living works. Only dead ones. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13. You were dead in your transgressions, the uncircumcision of your flesh. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. You become spiritually alive when you're saved, when you're justified. Before that, you are spiritually dead. Now, the works of unsaved people are referred to, Hebrews 6:1, as dead works. Now, let's look at Hebrews 6:1 and let's look at it as we should translate it and understand it, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, the Messiah. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of a mind changed away from dead works and toward faith in God. Okay? Now, Paul says here, this is baby food. This is elementary stuff. Okay? The foundation is that at salvation, you have changed your mind. That's how repentance should be translated. You have changed your mind from dead works. Listen, to be saved, you must stop trusting in your works. You must stop trusting in any contribution you have to make, because you have no contribution to make. Jesus did it all. Stop trusting your works. Turn from your works. Say, well, but I'm trying to do good works. Even your supposed, relatively speaking, good works are still dead before you're saved. They're dead. They're not living works. Why? Because you're spiritually dead. But when the Lord works, you are born again, You are believing not in works. You've turned away from that. You're believing in Jesus alone for eternal life. So all of those works are dead. Now we've seen Paul teaches that free grace, justification by faith alone, is the dynamic that produces good works. Okay? Ephesians 2:8-10. We just looked at verses 8 and 9. In Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Now we're created in Christ Jesus. How? Verses 8 and 9. By grace through faith. Created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Who generates the works? God does. How does He generate the works? By saving you by grace through faith. You are His workmanship, now prepared for those good works. Grace instructs and empowers believers for godly living and good deeds. Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God, bringing salvation to all men, has appeared, instructing us. Okay, now what's instructing us? Grace. The grace of God is instructing us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Okay? What instructs you to do that? Say, well, obedience instructs me to do it. No, it doesn't. Well, trying hard instructs me to do it. No, it doesn't. What instructs you in how to live? Grace does. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave Himself to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. Okay. Good deeds. Good works. Where do they come from? They come from grace. Do you see it? That's what Paul teaches. They come from grace. They come from God. It is not true that people who believe in justification by faith alone aren't concerned with good deeds. Here's the reality. They are the only people that have good deeds. They are the only ones who have good deeds. And they are concerned about good deeds. Titus 3:1. To be ready for every good deed. Titus 3:8. Be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Believers, saved by faith alone, are the only ones who have good deeds. Okay. Now, that's a startling statement to some people, but it's exactly what Paul is teaching here. Obedience, we've seen this in Romans 1:5 several times now in this series. Obedience springs from faith. The obedience of faith. Obedience is generated by faith. An unsaved person cannot generate obedience. Cannot. Obedience springs from faith. Okay, now that's just a quick overview of Paul's teaching on this. Here's our question this morning. Does Paul disagree with or contradict James? Okay, in our scripture reading, we read all of that in James 2, faith without works is dead. Does Paul disagree with or contradict James? Now, first of all, let's think about this. Because the way the question is usually posed to me is the other way around. Doesn't James contradict Paul? Now, there is a reason that it is absolutely impossible for James to contradict Paul. Here's the reason. James, the book of James, was written in 47 AD before Paul wrote any of his letters. Galatians, which was his first one, wasn't written until 49 AD. The Jerusalem Council didn't happen until 49 AD. James wrote the book of James before any of that. So could James have contradicted Paul? No, it was physically impossible because James didn't have any of Paul's writings. But Paul did have James. So is Paul contradicting James? Well, Paul, in his writings, just read the New Testament, and you can see it. Paul never expressed any disagreement or concern about anything in James. Like, you know, Romans 3:28, he didn't say, "Now I'm saying this, justified by faith apart from works." And he doesn't put a footnote there that says, "I realize that's a little different than how James said it." No. Paul's fine with James. James' teaching in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, is showing that faith alone, in Christ alone, for justification, is vindicated. It's demonstrated. And a lot of our versions use the word justified here, but realize James is using the word justified in a different way than Paul is using it. He's using it in the sense of vindicated or demonstrated, not the sense of right standing before God. So James did not add works to faith for eternal life. He didn't. But we're going to look at it because there are a lot of people who say, "Well, oh yes, he did. Oh yes, he did." But Paul's teaching agrees with James. Paul is saying the same things that James is saying. So, let's jump in at James 2:14 and begin to see how this would be the case. In James 2:14 through 20, James is dealing with three hypothetical opposers. And it's very important that you get this or you miss what this is about. Now, the first hypothetical opposer in verses 14 through 17 is what we might call a make-believer. Now, in verse 14, James 2:14, what is the situation of this make-believer? This make-believer says he has faith, right? Now, does he have faith? You don't know. Doesn't say. All it says is, he says he does. But is that true? All you know is, he said it. James says, it is of no use. What use is it? It's of no use to say it if it isn't true. If you say it and it isn't true, then it's what? It's just talk. It's a false profession. you know, I try to be careful with people who say, well, on such and such a time, at such, I made my profession of faith. Okay? What I want to know is, did you believe? Say, well, but I made my profession of faith. Yeah, but did you believe? Well, I made my profession of faith. Okay, all made my profession of faith tells me is you said you believed. But did you? Okay, and that's what James is concerned about here. This make-believer has no works, verse 14 says. He has no works to demonstrate that what he is saying, what is he saying? He's saying, I have faith. But he has no works to demonstrate that that's true. He has no evidence of saving faith at all. Now, has he actually been saved? Can that faith save him? The question is not, can faith save him? The question is, can that faith, just a say-so kind of faith, that's just talk, can that save him? And the answer to that question is no. It can't. If it's just talk faith, no. Now, if it was actual faith in Christ, then the answer is yes. But if there are no works, nobody knows. Right? Nobody knows. So that's the opposer. He's a make-believer. He's saying, well, I've made a profession of faith. I have faith. Okay. Now, James' answer regarding this make-believer, verses 15 through 17. James first answers this opposer by an illustration. And in the illustration, verses 15 and 16, he's comparing faith with compassion. So what happens in verse 15 and 16? Somebody, a brother or sister in need, comes, and what does this just talk compassion person do? He says words of compassion. Go in peace, be warmed, and be filled. Saying words of compassion is not actually exercising compassion, is it? Okay? Saying words of compassion in verse 16 is useless. James says that. What use is that? Saying words of compassion is useless if they're not true. Their truthfulness is demonstrated by the actual exercise of compassion. Okay? Do you have compassion? Oh yeah, I have compassion. Be warmed and be filled. No, if you actually have compassion, you will what? Give that person some food and clothing and shelter. You will actually help them. You'll exercise compassion. And in verse 17, James answers by the inferred principle. In other words, the illustration infers a principle, and the principle is faith, if it has no works, is dead. Saying you have faith does not necessarily mean that you have faith, right? Any more than saying that you have compassion necessarily means that you have compassion. Saying that you have faith does not necessarily mean that you have faith. Actual saving faith is the dynamic that produces living works, right? We saw that Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We saw it in Romans 1:5, obedience springs from faith. Faith produces works. So, if there are no resulting works, living works resulting from faith, then the professed faith is dead. Now, I think you all know this because we've studied this in a previous series. What does dead mean? Dead does not mean that it's not real. Dead does not mean non-existent. Dead means separated. And that's important in this passage. In this case, separated from any living works as evidence. Faith, if it does not have any living works, any faith-generated works, is dead. It's separated from anything that would be evidence that it's alive. So, is faith alone sufficient for justification? Yes. Is just talk faith at all sufficient for justification? No. It's just talk. There are lots and lots and lots and lots of people who say they have faith. And here's what James says about them. So what? So what? I hear you talking, but that's all. It's not real. Say, well, shouldn't we just take them at their word? No. We shouldn't. James is saying some hard stuff here. But he's not contradicting faith alone at all. Second hypothetical opposer, verse 18, a works salvation advocate. Now, the objection, and it's important how you read verse 18. Someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Now, technically, and this is not how it appears in most of our translations, technically, you should put a period after works and put end quotes after the period. You have faith and I have works. That's what the opposer is saying. The opposer says, James, you have faith. That is, James, you believe that justification is by faith alone. You have faith. But the opposer says that he himself has works. The opposer believes in justification by works. You have faith, I have works. Now, how is James answering? And James' answer now begins with the words, show me. This is James speaking to this hypothetical opposer. Show me, and that's an imperative, show me your faith. Well, why would James say that? The man just said, I have works. James says, okay, but show me your faith. Show me your faith without the works. That is, demonstrate to me that you are justified by faith alone. And the man isn't. He's not justified by faith alone. James says, you say you have works, but are your works the result of faith? Are they faith-generated works, or are they dead works? You say you have works, but are your works living, or are they dead? Like Hebrews 6:1, change your mind away from dead works. Look, you're trusting in your dead works for your justification. James says, okay, show me that you're justified at all, because your works aren't living. You say, I have works, but they're not living works. But James will, he says, I will show you my faith by my works. James will show that he has been justified by faith alone, by his living works which proceed from faith. Okay, so James shoots down the person who says, no, no, it's works. It's works. And James would say, you know what? Salvation by works doesn't work. It can never work. Here's why. You're dead, and all the works are dead. They can't save anybody. They can't even help. Okay? person says, well, I'm going to be saved by my works. Do you realize what a futile statement they have just made? If a person says, well, okay, I agree, you have to believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to just put all my confidence in that alone. I think I need some works to help. Do you realize what they're saying? They are not saved. Faith alone in Christ alone isn't 98% faith plus 2% works. It's faith alone. The faith plus works angle does not save. Well, I think I'm saved by faith, but just in case that's not enough, I'm going to try real hard. Okay? Do you know what? You're not saved. You're not saved. Don't try to use works to hedge your bets. Using works to hedge your bets shows that you don't trust Jesus alone for your salvation. Third hypothetical opposer, verses 19 and 20, is, and I believe in God, advocate. Now in verse 19, the faith of this I believe in God advocate sounds like this. You believe that God is one. Believes in one God. Believes in even the unity of God, like the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4. God is one. And James says that this person does well to believe this, right? It's good that you believe in God, that God is one. But James is pointing out that this is not saving faith. Because saving faith is believing in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Generically believing in God isn't saving faith. Believing in Jesus Christ is. Saving faith is believing Jesus Christ alone for eternal life. James is not critiquing this person's faith, the quality or the sincerity of this person's faith. James is critiquing the object of this person's faith. The object of this person's faith is a generic God. It is not Jesus Christ. You know, I have people often, and they're trying to defend themselves to me. And they say, well, but I believe in God. My response is, but do you believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation? That He is the only way of salvation? Well, no, but I believe in God. James is saying that person has an insufficient object of faith because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And he points it out here in verse 19. Even demons believe in one God. Now, does that mean there are demons that are saved? No. No demon has ever nor will ever believe in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. Say, well, but they believe in God. Yeah, and they're demons. And they're lost and doomed to eternal punishment forever. The demons aren't saved, and neither is this generic I believe in God person saved. So James' answer to this person is, James refers to him in verse 20 as a foolish fellow, because this person is not willing to recognize the whole point of this discussion, namely that saving faith in Jesus Christ generates living works. This man doesn't do that. He just thinks that faith in God will do it. But generic faith in God does not justify and does not generate any living works. Faith in an insufficient object, even if that object is God. Faith in an insufficient object is dead. And that's what Paul says in verse 20. It's dead. It's useless. Because it cannot generate living works. Okay, so those are the three hypothetical opposers, and James deals with them all. Now, out of that, James is teaching from verse 21 through verse 26. James teaches his point that saving faith is vindicated, that is, it's demonstrated or justified by living works. This teaching is illustrated by Abraham. Now, verse 21, Abraham's vindication by works. Was not Abraham, verse 21, our father, vindicated by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? That happened, it's in Genesis chapter 22, that happened in 2051 B.C., Now, I'm giving you the date for a reason, not because you need it for the quiz, okay? But for a reason. 2051 B.C., Abraham was 115 years old at the time. And he offered up his son Isaac. And Isaac, by the way, would have been 15 or 16 years old. He wasn't like you often see in the little videos, or he wasn't a little boy like 4 or 5. And There are some, even the historian Josephus said that he was probably about 35. No, he would have been 15 or 16 at the time. Now, Abraham's faith, according to Genesis 22:1, Abraham's faith was being tested. God tested Abraham to be proven. Just as believers today have their faith tested and proven through trials. Now, James himself said that in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. James said that the testing of your faith by these various trials produces endurance. Peter said it, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Peter said, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do saved people have their faith tested? The answer is yes. Does the testing of your faith save you? No. You're already saved. But the testing of your faith gives you endurance. It makes you grow. It brings you reward in the future. Abraham did works. And James 2:21 says that. Abraham did works of obeying God and offering up Isaac. And Abraham did this by faith. Yes, he did. And you can prove it. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he offered him up by faith. By faith. Abraham's works in offering up Isaac were generated by faith. In Genesis 22:11 and 12, the angel of the Lord, who was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus, the angel of the Lord saw and knew that Abraham's faith had been demonstrated and vindicated. The angel of the Lord said, "For now I know that you fear God." Oh, I know. His faith had been demonstrated. Now, Abraham's justification and this is James 2:23. So, James 2:22, faith generated works, works demonstrated faith. James 2:23, Abraham's justification, where righteousness or justification was accounted to him by faith alone, That had occurred 40 years earlier. When was he justified by faith alone? Well, Genesis 15:6, which James quotes here in James 2:23, is talking about Abraham's initial justification, which was at age 75 in Genesis 12:1 through 4. In Genesis 15:6, there's actually a Hebrew perfect tense verb. It says, "And Abraham had believed." Then he had believed in the Lord previously. And he had it reckoned to him as righteousness. So in 2091, when Abraham was 75, that is 40 years earlier, Abraham was justified by faith alone. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul uses Genesis 15:6 exactly like James does here, in exactly the same way to teach justification by faith alone. Remember Romans 4:1-5. What shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited by as righteousness. Was Abraham justified before God by works? Was he? No. He was justified before God by faith. By faith alone. Well then, what about the works? Well, James says they came later. 40 years later. Abraham's justifying faith was evidenced by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar. 40 years in between there. Now in James 2:24, James teaching out of this illustration is stated from observation, observing all of this. And his teaching is this: while justification is by faith alone, verse 23, the vindicating demonstration of faith is by works and not by faith alone. You see faith vindicated not by hearing people talking. You see faith vindicated by seeing what they are doing. That what they are doing is a living change in their life produced by God. One more illustration, verse 25. James is teaching and he's illustrating it by Rahab in Joshua chapter 2 and chapter 6. Rahab had believed sometime sooner than the event that's spoken of here. But her faith was demonstrated and vindicated by works when she protected the messengers, which she did by faith. And again, you can prove that because Hebrews 11:31 says that Rahab did it by faith. But her faith generated these works, and that then vindicated her faith. So, James' teaching summarized, verse 26. It's summarized by a physical comparison. Here it is. The body, that is your physical body, without the spirit, is what? Dead. The separation of your spirit from your body is physical death. Okay? Your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. Okay? And it's appointed unto man once to die. You're dead. Okay? In the same way, faith that does not generate living works is dead. It's a dead faith because the works that it has are dead works. It's dead. It's separated from any living evidence and demonstration that it is real. So, does Paul contradict James? No, he doesn't. Does James teach justification by faith alone? Yes, he does. Does James and Paul and Jesus teach that you are sure of your faith, that you're sure of your justification? Yes, he does. Can unsaved people do any kind of works that will merit or earn or even help justification or forgiveness or eternal life? No, they can't do any. Only saving faith generates works that are living works, demonstrating that there is justification, that there is eternal life. Death can't produce living works, but eternal life does. Eternal life does. So yes, there's no contradiction here. If someone brings up James chapter 2 to you to argue with you, just focus on James 2:23. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And that's the end of that discussion. Okay? Believers should rejoice in James 2 because we have faith-generated evidence. Unbelievers should be caused to believe by James chapter 2 because they are in need of saving faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the clarity of your word. We thank you that justification is full and it's free, and we rejoice in the justification that is ours in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.